$2 million in debt. How could life go anywhere from here but up? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the ANN special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. This is the conclusion of my conversation with Vance Breese, a guy who's overcome a severe brain injury and partial blindness to earn a private pilot certificate and has now logged 700 hours as PIC. After first deciding he wanted to fly a helicopter, circumstances resulted in Vance's introduction to gyroplanes, in which he earned a certificate of demonstrated ability. He found he liked this aircraft class and decided he wanted to fly his own machine, but then discovered that through some combination of inattention and misplaced trust, he was over $2 million in debt.
It was another year before I was able to purchase a gyroplane, put dual controls in it, and go back to Buckeye and fly it for 6 hours, and then they soloed me, but I didn't want to keep dragging it to Buckeye, so he soloed me at Santa Maria, and of course, because I'm a brain-injured person and I'd learned what I learned, I went up to the tower to explain to them that I was a brain-injured person, and so if I didn't get the radio communications just right, it wasn't because I wasn't trying, and further, I'd never flown at a towered airport before, and they said, well, how much time do you have in that thing? Well, I have 6 hours. And they felt that this was not satisfactory, and they saw that I had a problem with my balance, and my language was less developed then, and they said, well, the last guy that flew one of these things ended up dead over the river. And I went home that night and looked it up, and it was 22 years ago. And he was so drunk that his seatbelt came loose and he fell out of his aircraft. And he landed one place and the aircraft landed another place. So I guess he couldn't have fallen out of a fixed wing, but I really don't think that you could blame it on a gyroplane. And since then, I've flown 700 hours as pilot in command, and I've flown to a lot of the local airports and trips as far as 400 miles, and most of them have gotten to know me, and so they cut me a little slack for my inabilities. And I've also found ways to have call sheets with maps on the back that show you the taxiway. So when they give you these crazy taxiway instructions, I can just draw a black line on it and actually follow it. And now I've come to be so precise in my communication that people that are unfamiliar with me believe I'm an FAA guy testing the tower.
You have flown more than most gyroplane people ever fly who have not had any kind of disability to overcome. And I think that's what kind of startles people when they look at your hours count or your Hobbs meter. Talk about the aircraft briefly, because I want to move on to what you're doing from this point forward. Tell us about the one you're flying now.
Well, the one I'm flying now was designed on the back of a napkin and built by a fellow, an A&P mechanic named Mark Givens. And he spent 2 years building it and 6 years flying it. He had an idea that he understood why people were falling out of the sky and dying, and he felt that having the thrust line more aligned with both the center of gravity and the center of drag would make the aircraft more stable. And I don't know if you can imagine how difficult it is to draw something out on a napkin and imagine where everything CG is and imagine where the center of drag is, but he really did a remarkable job. He ended up getting the thrust line slightly below the center of gravity, and the thing just, it flies beautifully. And after 6 years of flying it and only about 160 hours, he sold it to a friend of his who had it for 2 years, and he flew it another 35 hours, I think it is. And he moved from Sacramento, or Marysville, actually, to Illinois, and I was going to Detroit to buy a different aircraft and for a lot less money. And I knew about this one being for sale, and so I stopped there, and the fellow that bought it, Gary Brewer, he gave me a ride in it. I knew that that's really what I wanted, because it had a real Lycoming aircraft engine, and even though it was really a World War II generator motor built in 1939, but, you know, it had a Lycoming engine in it, and it had magnetos, and it had all the stuff that made it a real aviation kind of thing. It had a whole lot of circuit breakers and a nice panel and a real radio. I had to put a transponder in it though, and it's just, it was wonderful to learn in. That's why I was able to solo in 6 hours, and someone who'll remain nameless but who was involved in a very expensive experience of designing what was supposed to be the most stable gyroplane admits that mine flies better. and we have a deal where I have to will it to him if I die in some way other than in the gyroplane, because he really wants it.
In the 15 years since Vance Breese's near life-ending brain injury, there has to have been more to life than aviation. In a moment, more of what looks like bad luck at the time turns out for the best, and a look ahead. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature and the final segment of my interview with my most remarkable pilot friend, Vance Breese. While all this aviation stuff was happening, life went on. Some of it has shaped plans for the future.
A lot of things have gone on. The woman that was there at the crash site eventually got tired of my challenges and bailed on me. The local newspaper got excited about what I was doing, and so they went out and did an article, because there's more and more brain injuries coming back from Iraq, and consequently there's more interest in that. So they did an article, and I ended up on the front page of the newspaper. And my old sweetheart saw it, and she was in between sweethearts, and she emailed me, and we ended up getting together, and I have since married her. She loves to fly in the back of the thing. When she first saw it, she thought I was crazy and that she'd never go up in that. And then I had her watch me take off and land some, and she said, "Wait, he's having fun. If I don't get into it, I'll get left behind." And so she really got into it, and she loves to take pictures, and she's never still, and she gets the most exotic, crazy pictures, tail shots, and puts her camera on a stick and puts it around, and she's an artist, and she has an artist eye. And so we started writing on a forum, and a lot of people liked the stuff, the pictures and the stories that we were telling about essentially me flexing my wings, and consequently she said in passing, "Well, wouldn't it be fun to make a coffee table book?" And I thought that was a really bad idea, because my mother was a writer and a story editor, and I know how many manuscripts never get to be books, and how many manuscripts and books that are bought never get to be movies. She had this huge office with shelves all around with all these dead things on it. And so I thought that was a really bad idea. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that the brain injury part of it spread it out some. And all pilots will buy anything that's got a bunch of pictures from the air. And old people, I'm an old person now, 61 years old, old people believe when they get to be 60 that they just have to sit on the porch. And one of the things I enjoyed about being a Harley-Davidson dealer, which I was for 17 years, is getting people off of the porch and actually doing something, getting them away from watching the game on Sunday and doing the honeydews and getting out and having adventure on their Harley-Davidson. So it seemed like this was a way to get some of that back, because here was a geezer going out and having these great adventures and having a nice-looking woman with him and a romantic experience and art. And it just, it seemed like it would be a good thing. And it seemed like the best way to do it was to build an aircraft in your garage, because that seems impossible. And if you're going to dream, you want to dream about something that's impossible. If you're going to demonstrate adversity, you want to demonstrate something that seems impossible. And the most aviators, they understand that you can build a lovely airplane in your garage. But designing one, or even scratch building one, is generally out of the reach of most people. So, and to the, your average man on the street, if you say, well, yeah, I'm going to build an aeroplane in my garage and then fly it across the country, why, they think this is complete madness. So naturally, that's the plan. And it's essentially, we're building a stronger one of what I have now with more capacity that has less drag.
What's your plan from that point for you and Edna to go take it out? Is there a timetable for that?
I've found that if I'm in a hurry, it takes a lot of the joy out of something. And any journey is about the journey. It's not about the destination. And so Jim Bellin, my co-conspirator, feels that it will be ready to fly next spring. I feel that the year after that would be much more reasonable.
Well, we will look forward to your further adventures. I have to say I'm amazed at your persistence, because there are a couple of points in particular that I can identify in your story where most people would have turned around and gone home. I also have to note that I think the first time I met you was in 2003 here. And I recall interacting with you at that time and being aware of your handicap, and then learning later specifically what it was. I also have to note that especially since you started what essentially is a blog, it's not done in a blog format, but your postings on the Rotary Wing forum, your efforts to write these things and organize them for other people to read appears to me to have had a role in your continued recovery. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it's a very accurate assessment. The reality is, I can debrief myself, but I won't remember it because it's not related to anything. Whereas if I have to take each aspect of a particular challenge and articulate it and relate it to things that other people that are reading it will understand, and then develop it, and then go back over it and edit it so it doesn't sound stupid, it has great value. It's a great, great learning experience.
I think you've done well.
Well, thank you. The whole prospect seems really exciting, and my life's understanding was to chase every dream, and that's really why I didn't just go home with anything. You need to understand, after an accident like that, you have less resources. So your dreams, in the beginning, my dreams were to not fall over for 2 days, for instance, or to be able to get a complete sentence out without getting stuck on a word. Aphasia is a situation where you can't pull up particular words, and it's like a person who stutters. Sometimes they have to use a bigger word because they can't think of a simple one, or somebody who can't spell, too. And so all of that together is what gives me the foundation to want to keep doing what I'm doing. And if we never write the book, it doesn't matter. We built the damn aircraft anyway, and we're going to have a great lot of fun flying the aircraft, and it'll do things that mine can't do right now. And that'll be worth, you know, it could stop at any moment in the journey, and it would still be worth that day's effort. Everybody has setbacks in their life, and the magnitude of the setback is always as big as it is to that person. And so to imagine that I've had bigger setbacks than other people is not really reasonable. I may have to go around the corners a little more than most people because of my limitations, but I think that everyone, if they just chase every dream, will enhance their lives.
Leveraging his experience managing his own Harley-Davidson dealership,
Vance refined his successful techniques into a software product called Counterman, a point-of-sale system for motorcycle shops. His Santa Maria software has recovered nicely from the dark days of being $2 million in the hole, and now allows him to fly frequently. His blog, called Build a Better Power Sports Business, hasn't been updated in a while, but it's still good reading at www.counterman.net/vblog. Find a link to Vance's recollection of a specific flight in the Predator, his one-of-a-kind gyroplane, in the data block accompanying this podcast. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.